Welcome back to my podcast where we talk about like study abroad experiences. I'm with my friend Emily.
Hi.
And we both studied abroad at Oxford in the fall of 2023. So we're going to be talking about our experiences and like how study abroad has shaped us as a person. So Emily, do you want to talk about, you know, how study abroad at Oxford has shaped you as a person?
Yeah. So hi, I'm Emily. And so how study abroad has shaped me as a person, I think that the narrative I say, because there's such a scary question of like, that all study abroad students face. And so I'll make it specific to Oxford. And so it's like, how was your trip? And, you know, we talk about this in our class, you know, how was Oxford? So that's the scary million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I try to encapture how I've changed as a in a nutshell. And something that's really interesting when we kind of get into the hardships of coming back and the culture shock that is coming back, it wasn't even necessarily America that was the culture shock coming back, but it was like, it was the friends that was coming back. And so something that's my little phrase when people are like, ooh, how has it been hard coming back? Because some people that really care actually ask that. Anyway, everyone cares, but you know. So I say like, all I wanted when I was in Oxford was for everything to stay the same at APU. I just wanted everything to stay the same. I wanted my friends to stay the same. I wanted like my academics to stay the same. I was in SGA positions and I was like, I felt like I was a leader on campus and in different honors college positions. And so it was really well. I was doing a lot of resume building things and I thought I was doing well. And like I had great friends and I still have great friends, but I wanted everything to stay the same. I wanted my life to freeze. And I came back from Oxford after this complete whirlwind whiplash of an experience.
Yeah.
And I come back and everything is the same. Mm-hmm. And I realized I'm the one that's changed. Yeah. And that's so, so weird and difficult. So how have I changed as a person? I think that, so how has Oxford shaped me? Oxford is this extremely academically rigorous experience that I can't overstate. Like I can't sell this enough. So I studied philosophical theology as my primary tutorial and theory of politics as my secondary tutorial, focused specifically on the comparison of the UK and US Supreme Courts in my research project.
Yeah.
And British culture, I did C.S. Lewis, Intellect and Imagination. So that's just a little bit of context of like politics and philosophical theology were like the two separate things that I studied and was interested in. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't take these specialized classes at APU. Really, I don't get this kind of education at APU, and I'm sure you feel the same.
Yeah, it was just being at Oxford was spent in like reading and writing and feeling like I was trying to learn something.
Totally.
And I found like fulfillment in it.
Yeah.
And then when I came back to APU, like I feel like it's a lot of busy work of like, let me do this assignment because I have to do it.
Totally.
I need to like, you know, keep my grade.
Yeah.
And so it does feel like that big contrast of like, this doesn't feel as fulfilling. Like I came back kind of jaded in a way where I'm just like, I don't want to be here.
Totally. Absolutely. So I think that Oxford showed me this love, this absolute love for academics that I hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. I've always been someone that strives for academic excellence, but it really took the experience of Oxford and like kind of failing sometimes of just feeling so behind all the time to realize that that the only thing that sometimes got me through writing my papers day in and day out was that I loved what I was learning.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing for, like, Oxford students because, like,
of course,
their work is, like, embedded in their whole life. And so they love what they're studying because if you didn't, there's no way you could invest that much time and effort into it.
And you're asked that question when you meet other Oxford students where it's, like, name and then what do you study? Like, it's that immediate question of like trying to discourse with one another, talking about studies and academics, and that's the entire atmosphere there. That's their life.
That's their like identity.
Yes. And that could be to a fault, but
yeah.
I absolutely loved the academic like the scholarship there.
Yeah.
I thought it was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And it made me love my academics because you ask the why questions. I think that the Honors College here does a good job of it, but I never developed such a love for like reading and actually understanding what I'm trying to argue.
It's definitely like the environment too of like everyone around you is like so invested in what they're doing. It kind of like makes you want to be more invested in what you're doing.
Of course.
Environment shapes so much.
And I think that also, like, you don't have another option.
Yeah.
When you're with these tutors and they're continuing to probe questions, at like, asking probing questions, you have to show that you read all of the articles.
Mm-hmm.
That was me, where I remember, like, my tutor was like, so what do you think about this? You didn't talk about it in your paper.
Oh,
and I'm
wow,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. But I'm like, no, I actually loved this. I'm like, I'm glad you asked because I read about this and here's what I thought and I had questions. And it's so awesome because you also get that tutor experience where it's like a junior scholar and a senior scholar is kind of what they emphasize there. So I think that I changed as a person coming back to APU. It was definitely a culture shock because I realized that like, that was such a unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't something where I was in Oxford and was like, oh, I love my academics so much more. I just kind of grew in that and didn't notice the shift until I came back. And I was actually like, oh my gosh, wait, none of my friends really care as much about what they're learning. And we all care to an extent, but I'm like, not like no one's obsessed with the learning environment, I guess.
No, it's like I need a job after college and this will make me like decent money. Let me do this.
Yeah. Whereas Oxford students are like more school. Like that's the identity.
A lot of them probably go into academia. So it's just constant.
Totally. I think that another way I've changed as a person in Oxford is, We talk about in class also, you and I relate to this, where it feels that Oxford is a very godless environment.
It is.
And that's, a lot of it too, is because, like, you put so much of your worth in your academic integrity. And that's really, really difficult.
Is their identity.
To be a part of. It's crazy. Where it's super, super fun, but I couldn't do that for a long period of time. Because there was a point in time where I kind of lost sight of who I ultimately relied on. Because you're just pushing yourself constantly. It's like late nights, early mornings, like constantly like coffee addiction, trying to stay up and doing these papers hours and hours in the library or wherever you work. And it was just so difficult because I lost sight of like ultimately what the work was for.
It's kind of like your worth is found in like how you perform.
Absolutely.
In your academics or in your papers.
Yeah.
And I felt like my worth was really centered around like what my tutors said about me.
Yeah.
And their comments. And I didn't know how to like separate the two. Like my worth doesn't have to be found in that. But I was like, no, like if I don't perform well, if they don't think I'm brilliant. That was like one of the biggest things before like going to Oxford was like, what if they don't think like I'm smart or brilliant?
Totally.
Like I need to like be brilliant, and it kind of consumed me. It kind of kind of hindered me in a way.
Totally.
Of like being too psyched out to like really do
absolutely.
The work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I resonate with that. And I always seek the approval of people I respect.
Yeah.
Too. And so it's like super difficult coming across tutors who are like, no, you did this wrong. I'm like, no, please never say that again because that scares me. Anyway, so that's so my worth was found in something else. Interestingly, I studied philosophical theology as my primary tutorial.
Yeah.
I had a very close friend, you know, Emma Walls.
Yes.
She had Gospels as her secondary tutorial, and that was like the bane of her existence. because that class, the tutor was so difficult, and Emma was like sobbing after every class. She just, it was so hard.
Yeah.
And so I was like, we're not like seeing the worth in the gospel. I think it's just like how well can we convey ourselves in these essays? And how well can we grasp the topic? And so I feel like I lose sight of resonating with the material, but I'm like, how can I use the material to make it what I want? How can I understand the material enough to argue it?
Yes.
And so that was both a virtue and a vice, because it was that's two sides of the extreme, where I really, really, really understand, and so I'm able to write a good essay, but then I'm not resonating with the material. Studying philosophical theology, that was really difficult. Something I learned in Oxford is how desperately one must cling to community. And that's something I didn't learn right away, but really leaning on other people and having faith conversations when you lose sight of what truly matters. Because you have a bunch of philosophy people in Oxford, too, where it's just like, everyone's talking about the nitty-gritties and predestination and X, Y, and Z. And it's like, how much of this truly affects how we see Jesus Christ? How much of this truly affects how we understand the gospel? And my answer is, it's not much. That's kind of what I learned. Clinging to community and understanding as a group of people, as a body of Christ, what the truth is of the gospel, and clinging to that desperately with other people was so important to me.
Like, I agree with that. Like, especially with the tutors that you met with different ideas, which is really refreshing. To, like, not have everyone agree with you anyways.
Yeah, totally.
And to have people challenge you. Yeah. And have you look at things from a different perspective.
Totally.
That's not, like, based off faith or, like, God. Because a lot of them, you know, like you said, it's pretty godless. And so they don't have, like, claim a religion.
Yeah.
And so I was challenged to, like, look at things from a different perspective. Totally. And, like, consider new ideas. Which I think is a skill and, like, something good to learn. And the community aspect was such... like, a big part of Oxford, like, needing to find community because the work was so independent.
Totally.
That, like...
Absolutely.
I couldn't go and just do my work 24/7, go to the library, study, read, write 24/7 and not have the community. And so, even while I was at Oxford, I would tell some of, like, you know, the people in my program that I made friends with, I was like, we need to do, like, one fun thing at least once a week because I feel like all I'm doing... day and night is going to the library, let me read my books, let me write my paper, and it's just you need balance, and it's so you know, difficult.
And so I think I clinged to community in a way that I took for granted when I was at APU, because there's community everywhere and there's resources everywhere, and that is such a blessing. And I didn't understand that until I went to Oxford, and like SCIO is Christian, but there's not many resources. Like, they have people available, but there's not, like...
It's more of your own.
Yeah, definitely. And prime example, my secondary tutorial after my first essay, a large critique of his was like, you mention faith in this paper, and that is not what I asked you. So he was like...
I'm talking about this,
He was like, I, like, argue your point without faith. And I was like, but that's my identity. And he's like, that's not what I'm asking of you. So that's a very prime example.
How did you
do
that? Like, how did you separate the two? Or did you separate the two?
My faith, over the years, my faith has shaped my political views and my political understanding of theoretical politics. And so, I stopped in, like, discussing... Oh, as Christians, like, we also practice this, and so here's how this ties into this theory. But I just asserted everything, but, like, I do have a Christian lens, and that's not something I will, that's not something I'll take off.
Yeah.
Because
it's your worldview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So my opinions are very much formed by my faith, because my faith is most important. and then politics comes after.
Definitely. And then something else I wanted to kind of discuss is, like, why should Americans, like, travel or, like, leave the U.S.? Because there is that stigma or that stereotype that, like, Americans don't get out of the U.S. And so why do you think that's important?
Yeah. I mean, we sit here and talk about how this three-month experience, 3 months is not a long time.
It's not.
But it seems like a lifetime. This three-month experience has changed us drastically. Mm. It has changed my life forever. Mm. And that's not even, that's Oxford, yes. But that's like getting out of the bubble. Mm-hmm. So why should Americans leave the country? Other cultures are so important to see and experience and be immersed in. Not just the American tour of Europe.
Yeah.
It's not just that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But being immersed in another culture completely and connecting with people on another level and seeing other cultures is so important for, it was so important for the development of my view on humanity, the development of my view of, like, just my worldview in general, my compassion for other people, and my love and sympathy for other people. And I think that I was able to relate. I still am. I have, I've developed this ability to relate to other people on a level that I wouldn't have been if I didn't experience another community. I sympathize with communities that I didn't know existed before. And you talk to the Jordan girls. And they experience that on a whole new level.
Yeah.
But Americans need to see other places. We are so caught up in our freedom and our rights and, like, asserting that we're right all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was humbled when I went to Oxford. I talked to a bunch of, like, prestigious people. So this isn't a great sample. But people were like, no, America screwed these people over in this way and these people over. And I was like,
okay, wow. Colonizers. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was like, okay, straight up. I know. So actually, I used the whole, like, you're just mad because we won the war. And straight up, everyone just looked at me, like, in disbelief. They were like, no one cares about that.
Yeah.
Like, no one talks about the War of Independence. And I'm like, wait, really? Because that's all Americans think about. Like, straight up. And so I think it's really interesting because British people, even though it's such a similar culture, they're like, no, we have this foreign policy and we do this. And here's what we think about Americans, because you guys just encroach on other people's cultures and just like unapologetically.
That is such a fair point, though. We kind of do.
We do.
We do. We don't even think about it. We're like, let's add this culture's food and, like, make it our own.
Yeah.
And I talk a lot about this of Americans needing to leave the country.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, like, Americans, like, that don't want to leave the U.S. and see other cultures.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, like, you grow more compassionate towards other groups of people that are not like you.
Yeah.
And you get to see a different way of life. Because
Absolutely.
We get so caught up in, like, the American lifestyle of, like, how we live.
Yeah.
And there really is no right or wrong lifestyle when it comes to different cultures.
Totally.
And it's about survival in their environment, and that's why they function a certain way, because they're in a different environment.
And I think that especially since we're a melting pot as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding where other people are coming from when they practice their culture in the U.S., I think you really connect more with people in the U.S. from that. In England, it's not as much.
Yeah.
But I could see other cultures. But I will have this caveat, because there's a difference between, like, just traveling out of the country as an American and experiencing another country as an American.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would caution Americans to not go into other countries and be like, me, 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 me. Why don't you speak English? See, this is a huge thing that I've noticed with Americans that go to even France, where it's like, okay, there's a lot of American tourists. Why don't they speak English? English is supposed to be a universal language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people kind of dog on that a little bit.
It's like a double standard, I feel like.
Yeah, and totally. And, like, kind of, it's a joke, for sure. But I don't speak another language. I wish I did. I don't speak another language. But I think it is so interesting, like, so important for someone to just, like, walk around in another culture for a day.
Yeah.
You know? Because 100%. You are entering into someone else's lifestyle. You're entering into a whole nother community's lifestyle. And I think Americans as a whole have a bad habit of making someone else's lifestyle their own.
Yeah, we don't assimilate to other people's cultures. Like, if you're going to go to another country, you have to assimilate. You can't bring, like, the American culture there. And it's, like, this double standard of, like, when people come to the U.S., they don't speak English, and people get upset about that. But, like, as Americans going to a different country, and if you're going to live there for a certain amount of time and you don't speak the English, the language, it's, like, double standard. It's, like, okay, we tell people you can't come here, you don't speak English, and then we go to other people's countries, and we don't speak their language. It's just double standard.
Travel the world if you have the means, but do it well, please. Go with the intention of learning something.
Yeah.
Go without any expectations of what it'll look like. Just experience it to its fullest, or else I think you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Sometimes we just go to other countries because we're like, oh, this place looks cool, or I really want to try, their food, and we don't really go there to learn anything. It's like, let me just go visit for fun.
Yeah. But there's so much to learn all around us, and even about the art, learning about other cultures, not even in the way they speak or interact, like, not even the way that other cultures speak or interact with one another. It's, like, the art, it's the history, it's everything. Other cultures are so fascinating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think do it well. You have such an important learning opportunity, and so soak it up as much as you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Take advantage of it if you have the opportunity to travel. Okay, I think that is where we'll stop. Thank you, Emily, for joining
me. Yeah, thanks for having me.
And having this conversation, and I'm signing off.